Man, it sure is good to see everyone this morning, and so thankful to be back in the Lord's house, and sure miss being here Wednesday night, and a little under the weather there, but appreciate the understanding, and again, just very thankful to be here, and I'll be honest, I've enjoyed having the missionaries with me, or with us, but I've missed preaching. I'll just be honest with you, just been studying and feel like the Lord's been laying things on my heart, and I'm thankful for that. It's one thing to study and try to get confirmed on something, and it's another for the Lord to give you something and just say, hey, you just go with that. You just stay with that. And I guess about a week ago, the Lord laid this on my heart early one morning, and just been kind of studying on it and thinking on it ever since. But before I get too far down the road, I want to mention this. Next Sunday for Sunday school, won't be here for the Sunday school portion. We have our Faith Fest, I believe. Spiritual Life Fair. I'm trying to make sure I get it right for CFC. So that it's here. It's already back. So that's next Sunday. So during our Sunday school time, Brittany and I will plan on being there. And we have others doing the Club Expo that's going to be after that that afternoon. So just I plan to be here for preaching, but we'll be out for that. So I just want to let you know up front there. Any other announcements that you can think of? Anything else?
We'll pray over the school kids.
Next Sunday, we'll have a time of prayer after the service and everything for that. But again, it's good to be here. I'm glad to see you this morning. And if you'd like to, I'll go ahead and get you turning somewhere this morning. If you'd like to, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter number 20. If you'd like to turn there for just a minute, I'm going to be kind of all over, so don't worry about trying to necessarily follow along in the Bible, so to speak. I'll definitely give you the verses and everything, but this is one of those times of putting it together, multiple verses, and not just following suit in one place. But again, I'm just going to jump right into it. It's the only way I know how to do it this morning. I don't know. What kind of macaroni and cheese do you like? Do you have a preference on mac and cheese? We'll start there. Is it Kraft macaroni and cheese? That's probably what a lot of us grew up on, right? You know, the powder and the milk and the butter. You know, what about you, Sister Shirley?
You have to make your own sauce.
Yeah, you got to make
that Velveeta cheese.
Okay. See, we're kind of getting there, that Velveeta cheese, you know. it's probably some of my favorite. And it's interesting how, I'm just follow me this morning. So this was, probably years ago at this point, we was reading and, or actually eating some macaroni and cheese, I think it was, and I told Branson, I like this. I mean, it wasn't pasty, it tasted so good. I was like, man, now this is good macaroni and cheese. This is good. And I got to looking at the box and seeing it because, you know, somehow the powder, but then there's others, you could rip the top of it off, and then you squeeze the cheese down into it, and you melt, and you put it down there. I was like, man, it just tastes better. It just tastes better. And so I started looking at it, and as I read through it, read the box, I was like, I want to see what's on this box. Macaroni and cheese made with cheese product. What is that? What do you mean cheese product? I mean, what is that? What is that? You know, I brought this morning. I'm going to hold on to this. The cap's still on there. Anybody ever see this? I want you to see it real good. Anybody see Easy Cheese? You like this stuff? Yeah? It goes on crackers pretty easy, doesn't it? I mean, it's pretty easy. I mean, really, it's got that little nozzle, and you just put it right on. It's pretty easy. The thing about it is, too, do you know, even though it says Easy Cheese, it's actually made with cheese product. Now, there's some real cheese in it, it says. There's a little bit of real cheese in there. But it's not just real cheese. It's not real cheese. Funniest thing in the whole world, you know, I'm telling you again, this one of those 2 o'clock in the mornings and laying there and just pondering things in my mind and praying and trying to, you know, it's amazing how the Lord just lays things on our heart. And I was looking at this, and I remember me and Brandy talking about cheese product. Like, why don't you just use real cheese? Why don't you just use the real thing? You know, and then as the Lord started working on my heart, He gave me the title this morning of church product. Church product. Well, why don't we just use the real thing in church? Why Why do we have to fabricate, or why do we have to manufacture things? Why not just use the real thing that we already have? Why not just stay with the real thing? And I looked at a few things here, give you some ideas. Cheese versus cheese product. I'm going somewhere. Cheese is being a natural dairy food. It's made from certain milk and all those kind of things, like natural things, whereas cheese products, it contains less real cheese and includes added emulsifiers, oils, and whey. It adds a lot of things in. Say, hey, we're not here for a recipe lesson. What's the differences? The differences lie in the ingredients, the legal definitions, and how they melt. You know, man tries to improve upon things from time to time, tries to make things better the way that they want it to be. Some things you just can't really change and you can't mess around with. So I asked the internet a few questions. It's like, well, which is more healthy for you? What's more healthy, this right here or actual real cheese? Which one do you think is more healthy for you, this or real cheese? Boy, you guys are smart. You guys are already ahead of me here. And, you know, that's what I anticipated. But why? Why is it more healthy for us? Why? Why would we not want to go with something that's more healthy for us? And it says here, natural cheese is significantly healthier than processed cheese products because it contains fewer artificial additives. That's simple. That's easy to understand. It's lower sodium levels and more intact natural ingredients. While both provide calcium and protein, cheese products fall short due to heavy chemical manufacturing. All this manufacturing, all these things that's worked in. You think, well, if it's bad for you, if it's not as good for you as the real thing, then why would you not just use the real thing? There has to be a why. Why would you not just stay with the real thing? And I asked the question, why not just use real cheese? And look, this is just definition here. Follow along. It said, processed cheese is used instead of real cheese because it melts smoothly without separating into oil and water, lasts much longer in the fridge, and it costs less to make. Comes down to cost effectiveness. Isn't that something? Less thing to make. Less involved, less expense to make. And, you know, I think a lot of times that's where people kind of get involved. Hey, if this is going to cost me less, tell me more. I want to hear a little bit more about it. This morning, with the help of the Lord, I'm trusting Him. I want to preach on the topic of church product for just a few minutes, and I hope it'll be a blessing and a help to us. Father, I come to You this morning just trusting You with everything that You've given to me, God, and I go back and I think about how You gave this to me, Lord, and how what a special time that it was of study, of just looking at things, how they really are, just pulling the blanket off of things, pulling off the veil, God, just looking at things naturally as they are. God, I need Your help this morning. God, I pray and I ask, God, that You just guide every word that comes out of my mouth, every thought, my heart. Lord, I need You this morning. I need You every morning, every time of study, every time of preaching. God, I'm needy, and I need You, Lord. Please help us this morning. Help our church. Help every heart here this morning. Help every hearer, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I, again, was looking at this and kind of rolling it over in my mind, and Mom and I, we went with Dad last week, and while he was going back into surgery and what have you, she and I went out to get breakfast, and we just had just a wonderful time, Mom, of talk that morning over breakfast. And I just kind of shared with her what the Lord had laid on my heart and what this was about. And she said, that's pretty good. I said, you thinking to preach? And she's like, yeah, I think so. And I know sometimes it's easy to get lost in an introduction, and I don't want to lose anybody, but I want us to focus on this morning just keeping things the way that they're supposed to be. Not manufacturing things, not making up new things. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that there's no new thing under the sun. I think Brandy and I were talking about before the ark, before the Lord destroyed the earth at that point in time, she said, you know, I think it's much worse now than it was when He destroyed the earth at that time. And I told her, I said, Brandy, I don't know. I really don't know. Things can get bad, and things are going to wax worse and worse, and things already are. I'm not telling you things that you don't already see, that you don't already know. But if we're not careful, we're going to try to start manufacturing things and start trying to change things up. And the Lord doesn't call us to do that. He's not called any one of us to create a new thing. He's already given us the original. Why would we stray from that? Why would we go from that? Why would we complicate things? Number one, the real thing has a recipe that can't be cut. It can't be cut. Acts 20:27, this Paul speaking, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsels of God." He said, "I've not neglected, I've not stopped, I've not shunned from telling you the whole counsel of God." Sometimes there's things that's left out. People will leave things out on purpose or inadvertently or something like that. And I really started looking at things, and I think really the only reason why a preacher would leave things out is probably because it's things that he himself is guilty of. We won't talk about that. We'll stay away from that. This message is for me just as much as it is for anybody else. I remember an opening of a service one time at Three Forks. Our superintendent got up and he said, "I was going to read these verses, but," he said, "they stepped on my toes too much, so I went with something else." I thought, man, that's being pretty honest, isn't it? I appreciated that. There's a nice spirit behind what he had to say. When I look at it, I think, why would you leave some things out? Number one, it might be just simply because the preacher himself is guilty of it and he don't want to talk about it. We'll just shun that. We'll stay away from that. We'll stay away from that part. We won't bring that up. Guilty of that and dealing with that. So we just won't bring that up. Sometimes also it might be just the lack of ignorance or what have you. And it could be, hey, I don't want to run anybody off. I'm afraid if we preach these things and talk about these things, people might be uncomfortable and people might leave. And we don't want anybody to leave. I'll tell you right now, I don't want anybody to leave. We'll get on down to the rest of the message. I don't want anybody to leave. That's not what this is about. But I tell you what, I still have to tell you the truth. And I still have to abide by the same truth. We're all on the same side here. We're all in this together. Now, I love the book of Jude. I love what he's teaching here and what he's preaching. Jude 1:3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation..." He said, "This was my plan. This is what I wanted to talk to you about." You know, God changes our plans sometimes. The Lord will switch things up on us sometimes and say, "I know you want to talk about this and preach on this, but it is more needful for you to talk about this." That's what Jude is saying when he's talking about this here. "It was needful for me that I write unto you and exhort that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Brother Nathan, I don't know how many times I've read that. And you and I have talked about it, even going on, having compassion the way that he talks about it there, having compassion for others. But did you catch what he said here? Did you catch what he said? "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." Once. One time. One time. There's not been other deliveries of the gospel. One time. So what do you mean? What do you mean? I think we're in a day and age that people want to see new things so much that they're trying to come up with something new, something different. I want to tell you something this morning. There is nothing new that I can tell you. I can't tell you anything new. Nothing. Now, you might hear something for the first time. I might learn something for the first time, but that doesn't mean it's new. It's always been there. I just didn't know it. Now, when you see what it's saying here plainly, he's saying that it was once delivered. Jude, you're going back there, you think about the apostles, Paul, you think about the gospels. All of this is the same. It was once delivered. One time. Preacher, what happened to it after that? After it was once delivered, what happened to it? How are we hearing it today? Where did this come from today? If it was just once delivered and it wasn't delivered over and over and over,
then how did we have it today? I preach over here a whole lot. Let me come over here. Think about this. Family recipes. How many of you have family recipes? This is talk a lot about food and recipes. How do you know, Brother Mike, about the family recipe? Passed down. It was once delivered. I mean, somebody made it. And here's the thing. Somebody made it originally, and nobody can make it like Grandma made it, so you wanted to keep it like Grandma. Now, sometimes Grandma wouldn't tell you everything because she didn't want you to take her recipe. But I have heard several times, many times I've heard, maybe when somebody's getting older, we need to get with Mom. We need to get with Grandma. We need to get with Mama and see if we can't get her recipe book. You know what Mama said? It's all up here. I don't have it written down. I just know how to make it. So verbally, it had to be shared. You had to share it. It was once delivered. It was once made. You knew what it tasted like. You knew what it smelled like. You knew what it was like. And probably you'd know what it was like if it wasn't that recipe also. See, it was once delivered. It wasn't delivered multiple times. I'm not going to tell you God has given me something that he hasn't made available to everybody else, because that would be a lie. It's already been delivered. It's once delivered. So it's right there. It's very plain to see. Deuteronomy 4:2, it says, "Ye shall not add unto the words which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you." He's saying you're not going to add to it, and you're not going to take away from it. If you want to keep a recipe, the original recipe, you got to do it exactly like it says, right? I'll tell you something Brandy tried to do. I don't know if she talked to my grandmother or not, but my grandma Reba, she made to me, I love pickled eggs. Now this isn't the beet kind, this is the vinegar kind. Real tart. And Brandy, she I guess just by memory and things like that and knowing how to make things, what have you, put it together, she kind of put it together and she made it. She said, "Now let's see if these taste like Grandma Reba." Grandma Reba is what she used to make, and she did really good. I mean, she was pretty well spot on. So how neat is that? And I said, "How did you know to do that? Did you get the recipe?" She said, "Well, I didn't, but I knew kind of what she put in there, and maybe I can add a little more of this, a little more of that." But she followed the recipe as close as she could. Now, what you have in today's society, a lot of times it's like we're throwing the recipe out the window. It's time for a new recipe. Let's make something new. Let's do something new. Let's do something different. Here's the thing. It was already once delivered. If we step outside of that, we're no longer following the recipe. What are we following? If we're not following the recipe, I'm going to give you this. Funny thing about this stuff right here is it has to be FDA approved. Right? Now, let's think about it. Let's stop right here for just a second. You'll look at it and you'll see the little FDA thing on there and stuff. And I'm telling you, if the government has to approve something is safe for you to eat, man, I tell you, that's putting a lot of trust in the government, isn't it? I mean, it's like, well, the government says it's okay for us to eat. Do you want something that's okay to eat, or do you want something that's good to eat? I mean, something that's healthy for you. There's a lot of things that are approved for consumption that you probably shouldn't be eating. It might not kill you, but it's probably not the best for you either, is it? You know, it's a neat thing. I've been told this in a grocery store. Don't buy anything on the center aisles. Buy everything. Go on the outside of the aisle. Shop on the outside. That's where your produce is, your dairy is, your meats are on the outside. And stay away from the inside. I've heard that. And I started taking note when I went to grocery stores. Like, yeah, they're all kind of made like that. So stick to the outside. But, you know, FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, they'll go through this. This had to go through approval like many other things. Say, yeah, there's enough in there that you can say it's nutritious. And there's enough in there that you can say that it's food. And there's enough in there that it won't kill you, so you can eat it. Talking about a different FDA this morning. I'm talking about the Father's divine authority FDA. That's the real church. See, man, they can go around and they can say, hey, this is enough that we can call it church. This is enough that we can call it worship. But what does God say? What does God say? The Bible teaches us, His Word teaches us, that those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth because He's a spirit. It's important that we realize and understand that what we think is not what matters. What God proclaims is what matters. We have to meet Him on His terms. We can't manufacture things. You can't make things up. There's a lot of manufacturing going on in this day and time. And recent events, I know we've had missionaries the last couple of Sundays, and which has been, I think, good, but in recent events, if you keep up with things, which there's people, the names, you probably don't hear me do a lot of name dropping. I don't follow groups and crowds and things like that. I was taught early on not to do that. Be careful about following groups and crowds and all this kind of stuff. So I don't, I'll be honest with you. But in recent weeks, if you keep up with things, you probably heard about an independent fundamental preacher that got in trouble for messing around with young men. You hear about that? Preacher, you going to put your 2 cents in on it? I don't know the guy, but I know what he did was wrong. Going around to youth conferences and preaching, and I'll say preaching, getting phone numbers from young boys, doing bad things with young boys. You think God's in that? I know He's not, and you know He's not. But you say, how? How do we get to that point? How do we get from church to church product? We're not reading the labels. We're not reading things. I want to tell you something. Again, when something in your heart is telling you something seems off here, if you're the child of God, let me tell you something. That's the Holy Spirit saying you need to beware of what's going on here. You need to wake up and be aware. Not that you're not being not careful or what have you. Every single one of us can be snowed over something. We can. But when the Holy Spirit starts revealing something to our heart, better start listening. That's that still small voice, Brother Ben, saying, hey, I'm telling you something for a purpose here. You know, I never knew the guy. Maybe I heard the guy's name, and it don't even matter. It don't even matter. I'm more concerned about how does this happen? You know, we see things in different religions and things. You think, well, you know, I can see why it can happen there or there. They're not really following the recipe, not really following the Bible maybe. So I can see why things happen in other places, other religions, other things like that. But how does it happen in our churches? How does it happen to us? How? There's a lot of manufacturing that's taking place. I started doing some homework after the fact because, again, I didn't know the guy before. Best of my knowledge, I never heard him preach anything, so I'm not speaking from personal experiences. I'm preaching and teaching or talking about from experiences after the fact and doing research. So we're watching some videos and things, and I want to tell you something. This was a fellow who grew up the son of a preacher. He's a preacher's kid. Watch out for them, by the way, Josh. Watch out for them. They'll get you in trouble. Watch out for them. But interestingly enough, the one video that I saw is he was talking about how he would teach other preachers to preach. I'm like, how in the world do you... Brother Allen, I couldn't do that. I don't know how to teach somebody to preach. I don't have that authority. When I went to school, not one time did any of the instructors teach me how to preach. They knew they couldn't. Any preacher would know that you couldn't teach somebody how to preach. You have to have unction from the Holy Spirit to preach. Now, not that teaching can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. It absolutely can, but there is no preaching without the unction of the Holy Spirit. None. So how could anybody teach somebody how to preach? You know what he said? He went on to say it was about voice inflection, cadence, saying things, doing things in a certain way because they know how people respond to those things. You know what that makes you? Makes you a good speaker. I've seen a lot of good speakers that are not preachers. They can keep you engaged. They can keep you They can keep you in humor. They can make you feel things. They can make you cry. They can make you laugh. All of these things, but you know what? They're not preaching. And I'm afraid in this day and time, more people are seeing the charismatic stuff, the ecumenical stuff, and they're following after that. Why? Because it's more entertaining. And this is a video from the man himself saying these things. Telling people, if you want to keep the crowd entertained, you want to keep people focused, you want to keep people engaged, do these things. I've never been taught how to do that. You can't teach the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more powerful than the Holy Spirit. You know that? Let me say it again. There's nothing more powerful than the Holy Spirit. Not emotionalism, not entertainment. I mean, you can have pep rallies and do things like that. You can move people in making decisions and things like that. But if the Holy Spirit isn't there, it ain't happening. Nobody's ever got saved outside the presence of the Holy Spirit. Nobody. 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 So what's going on? If the Holy Spirit's not there and all this moving and shaking is going on, then what is it? It's in the flesh. That's all it is. Football games. It's in the flesh. All this cheering and yelling and hollering and hooping and high-fiving and everything. The Holy Spirit's not in that. But people are moving and shaking and doing things, aren't they? Well, that's not the Holy Spirit. It's emotionalism. How dangerous it is. It's a lot of additives that get added into things. I looked at additives, and we talked about that as a recipe. Things that get added in to our churches and things in this day and time. Culture, comfort, personal opinion. All these things kind of get added in and they start adopting that as doctrine, but it's not. My opinion is not doctrine. I can have an opinion based off of what I've learned in the Bible, but here again, to go back like what I was saying, hey, we're going to tiptoe around this thing. Might make people mad. You know something I've learned, church? I really laid this to heart. I think about you. I'm serious every day. Pray for you when you talk about hardships and things that you're going through. And I see things going on. I think about being the watchman that is talked about in the Bible and what have you. Keeping your head on a swivel, all those kind of things. I get concerned about things. Brandy and I have talked about it and I understand where she's coming from. Brandy, she's like, I don't know if I'd say this. I don't know if I would say that. And I would say most of the time she's right. A lot of the times, not saying anything is the best thing we can do. And I've said that before. I understand that. But you know, as a preacher, Brother Terry, there's a lot of times I can't not say anything. There's times that has to be said. And if the preacher doesn't say it, then who's going to say it? Who's going to bring it up? Who's going to warn the flock when the wolf comes? Well, if the wolf is the preacher, there's a whole new thing here. How do you keep that from happening? You stay with the recipe. You stay with the recipe that was once delivered. You don't step outside of that. But what if people don't come? What if people leave? You are accountable for what you do with what the Holy Spirit gives you. You as an individual are accountable for that. Do you know that? I mean, I am. I'm accountable for it. It's easy to try to make a new recipe that tastes good, that sounds good, and all that kind of stuff, but if it's not the original, I'm doing you harm. I'm doing you no good. I'm not helping you in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And if I can't help you, then what am I doing? If I'm not giving you the real recipe of what's going to help you in your life, what am I doing? I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing is what I am. I'm a hireling. The Bible talks about that a whole lot. You see it in the Bible. Saw it so many times, church, and I've thought about it, and I see it as, yeah, but that's that other denomination, or that's that other crowd. But no, it's anybody that partakes in it. That's who it is. Anybody. Anybody that's not willing to stand for the truth will fall into that crowd because then they become men pleasers. Got to make the people happy. Here's the thing, if I can make the people happy, maybe I can say something and maybe they'll get saved. Maybe I can help them that way if I don't stir up the pot. When Jesus Christ was on this earth, the pot was stirred, wasn't it? When he went from village to village, town to town, buddy, they knew where he was at. That's the kind of move that we need in our world today, a real Holy Ghost move, not something manufactured. Manufacturing is a dime a dozen. Men try to do that every single day. We see those adages, I've got to hurry. I got to hurry on here. Number two, every substitute, let me get this where I can read it just right. Every substitute has a reason. Every substitute has a reason. So you say, well, why, if we're not going to make the real recipe, why would you not, number one? But if you have a substitute, it comes with a reason. I don't have it. We live in a little neighborhood. It's pretty close-knit. Sometimes our neighbor will come over, can I borrow a couple of eggs? It's kind of cool. Yeah, you can. Here you go. Likewise, if we need something, we'll go next door and say, hey, do you have some sugar? Whatever it is, you need to ask. Sometimes it's just, why is there a substitute? You know the number one reason I found in my study that there is a substitute? Because it costs less to make. This is an expensive ingredient, Brother Norman. This is what the original called for, but it's an expensive ingredient. I'm going to have to pay more if I'm going to make it what I want it to be. If I want it to taste like what I want it to taste, I have to have that. The real thing. I have to have that. But if I can find it somewhere else cheaper, I can still make it. It'll be close to it. This is what the Lord laid on my heart. Number one, when you see this here, the number one reason for substitute, it costs less. People are not willing to do what they need to do with their sin to have the relationship with God that they're supposed to have. That means it's easier to come here and manufacture something, Brother Shane. It's easier to come here and do that. But at the cost of saving money, saving on me not necessarily actually just being right with God. But here's the thing. If I can go in and I can blend in, and we can have a moving, a stirring, what have you, and I can feel something, maybe that will work, but it won't work. If you try to substitute getting sin out of your life to have the relationship with God that you want to have, you will never have it. I'll be as truthful with you as I can be this morning. That goes for me. There's times that, hey, I want things to be a certain way. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He says, check your recipe. Brother James, he's not going to keep it from us. But he's going to expose and say, hey, you need to do something about this. You're going to have to be willing to do something about this or you're not going to have it. People, young people, I see it a lot too. Young people, they want to know what is real. What the truth is, if they don't have adults that's willing to do what's right, they're not going to see it. They need to know how to make the recipe. I think back when I was growing up in church, thank God I got to see things that I got to see. I remember times that people were brokenhearted. You know what we do now? If I go and pray after a message like this, people are going to think I'm guilty of something. You are. So am I. What are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Are we going to try to change the recipe or are we going to stick with it? You end up with a church product. Boy, I wish I could have felt something today. Boy, I wish that the preacher could have this or the choir could have that. Maybe it's something in your life that you need to do. It is what it is. Preacher, it's just not popular. It's what's going to help you. Here's the thing. You can have this stuff and it might seem okay. It might taste okay or whatever. But it's not as healthy for you as the real thing. When it comes to the Word of God being FDA approved. Approved by the Father, it has to be the real thing. You can't fake God. You can't trick God. You can't manipulate God. He knows things. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." Tell me a story. That's what people want to hear today. Tell me a story. Tell me a good story. Make me feel something. Not even from the Word of God. Just tell me a story. You know how many messages I've heard lately that is nothing but stories? Preacher, get up and open up the Bible and walk around and just tell stories. That's not going to get it done. It's not how it works. And the problem is, you go around long with that long enough, you're not even going to know what the real thing tastes like anymore. Where are my Duke's mayonnaise people at? Anybody, raise your hand, come on. I want to know, because you're on the right side. I need to know this. If you're not, I'm going to pray for you. Where's my Hellman's people at? Bless your heart, bless your heart. In my own home. I went through the refrigerator this morning, and I was going to prove a point, Brother James. I was making a point to Brandy, because we're a house divided. We have two in our refrigerator. I'll just go ahead and tell you. So I opened it up, and I said, "Brandy," I said, what does that say about that Duke's mayonnaise in there?" "I don't know." So I went and opened it up. Right on the label, real mayonnaise. You know what it says on the Hellman's? Real mayonnaise. And she just laughed at me. I was like, "Oh my goodness, that's going to mess my whole message up. That's going to mess it up." So I grew up with Miracle Whip. Who knows what that is? I'm like, "What is that?" "It's mayonnaise product. What do you think it is?" And then you read some of them, you know what it says? Brother Garrett, it says salad dressing. I was like, "That's mayonnaise. That's not salad dressing." I'm like, who would take a glob of mayonnaise and throw it on a salad? That makes no sense. You say, "Where are you going with all this?" It's coming down to taste a lot of times. What we choose, what we prefer, what we like. If we're not going to look at it as, this is what's better for me, what tastes better to me? You know, if I took Brandy's Hellman's, I scooped it out and threw it down in a little dish, and then I took my Duke's, scooped it out and threw it down in a little dish, and mixed it around like this, and slid it forward, I don't think anybody here could tell the difference just looking at it. I couldn't. Sister Judy, I don't think I could. Couldn't tell the difference. So you know what you do at that point? Brother Patrick, the only thing you can do at that point is taste test. I got to try it out. I got to see if this is the one I like or it's not the one I like. So you taste test it. This is the one I like. And then you hope it's the one that you've been standing by all those years, right? You try it out. But they look so much alike, you don't know till you taste it. What you start getting down to the point is, if you're not careful in these days and times, is you start trying to find the church that matches your taste. I want it to match my taste. I want it to match my personality. I want it to match what I like. There's a lot of I's and me's and my's in that statement. Let me just say this. No mayonnaise is healthy, is it? Probably not. That's why they make light mayonnaise, and that's what got us in the mess we're in now, all this light stuff. I remember when light stuff came out at Taco Bell years ago, and they started taking all things off of the taco that I liked and charged me 10 cents more. And I said, "Why are you doing that? You're giving me less." "Well, because we have to leave it off." That's what they told me. "But you're giving me less and charging me more." Amen. Welcome to the prosperity gospel. That's what you get. My goodness. My goodness. I want us to know that the focal point here, Galatians 1:10, it says, "For do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You can't serve two masters. You can only truly be sold out to one thing, one person. You can't be sold out in many different directions. There's only one you, and there's only one way to be sold out. What Paul is talking about here is you can be sold out to men, or you can be sold out to Christ, and the only way to serve Christ is to be sold out to Him. So what does that mean? What he says goes. What he says goes. But preacher, what if people don't like what he says? That's up to the people. Remember, in looking at this again, my number one focus, I've thought about it like this. Whenever all the noise and everything going on and everything going on around you and all that kind of stuff, the number one goal for me, the number one focus is sharing the original recipe that was once shared, that was once delivered. That's my goal. You know how that simplifies things for me? You mean, preacher, you don't have to keep up with fads and movements and all this stuff? Absolutely not. It was once delivered. The message is here. Brother Patrick, all I have to do is deliver it. But here's the thing. The hearer has to do something with it. The Bible talks about subverting the hearer. It talks about when you preach and teach that it's subverting the hearer. That's taking that hearer over. That's giving the message and sharing the message, and then that person decides what they do with it. You know, I can't help it if the hearer is not satisfied with what the Word of God offers. I can't help that. When I was ordained, Brother Daniel stood here. One of the charging questions or one of the examination questions he asked me, he said, "Brother Jason, is it up to you to take care of the results, or is that left up to God?" I said, "Brother, that's left up to God." He said, "Amen. That's right." You know, Brother Allen, something I've learned throughout time, you love people. You want to take care of people. You want to do everything that you can for people. It's like being a parent in a lot of ways, but you know what? Ultimately, it's that person's decision, what they decide to do. You know, with me, in my life, as much as God loves me, as much as Jesus loves me, it's up to me if I follow Him or not. See, God does this by choice, not by overthrow. It's by your choice. Now, power and presence of God is extremely powerful, and we all know that. But I hurry along. We got to hurry. I got 5 minutes. We got to hurry. Number three, the substitute can't deliver what the real thing does. If something is missing, something is missing. You've heard this said before. Things that aren't the same are different. You've heard that, and obviously it makes sense. If you're trying to be healthy and try to take care of yourself, I think one of the number one things when you see something that has a label, probably what you'll do is you'll read it to see what's in there. And based on your situation, maybe you're taking a medication or something, and maybe this might counteract with that or what have you, but you'll read that, you'll look at that, and you'll say, "I shouldn't eat this because of this. I'm allergic to this." No peanuts, no tree nuts, right? That's right, amen, I remember that. Got an allergy back here. So you would look to see if that was in there or not because it's unhealthy for you. Now, if you're shopping on the outside, a lot of that stuff is going to be more healthier for you. If you're in the right places, things are going to be healthier for you. A watered-down version of the gospel is not the gospel. And I'll mention this here in passing. No need to harp on it. I know how I feel, and I believe I know how most of you feel about it. But here's the thing. When you look at these other versions that have things that's missing in them, let me tell you, that's by design, and it's not by God taking those things out. It's by the devil taking those things out. It casts questions, big question marks. I've heard people say, "Yeah, there's enough gospel in that book that I could share it with somebody if I had to." You don't have to. Praise God, we got the real thing. We don't need any substitute. We got the real thing. Even if we had to carry our Bible with us every single day, everywhere we go, we have the real thing. We have it with us. Romans 1:16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Paul's saying, I don't want a substitute. I don't want to make a different recipe. This right here is the recipe that'll work. This is the recipe that'll give you the power of salvation. Why would I want anything else? I don't need anything else. I'll stay with what I got. It's kind of like those folks that go to the restaurant. Every single time the waitress will give them the menu and they'll look it over like, "Yeah, oh yeah, boy, that looks good. Yeah, that looks good. I'll have what I always get." Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's good to know different variances out there so you can be wise as to what it is. But hey, absolutely nothing wrong with sticking with the one thing that works. Matter of fact, I recommend it. Not a thing wrong with that. Ephesians 4:14, it says here that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I tell you, there's a lot of deception that's going on. A lot of things that's going on. And the only way for you to know if it's right or not is to read the label and see what that doctrine actually is. You say, "Well, I don't know. You need to know. See, that's why God made the Bible available to everybody. So you can read the label for yourself. You can see it for yourself. You can see things and know things for yourself and then follow the Holy Spirit. There's one thing that I have noticed, and I thank God for this, because sometimes it takes a while for me to see things and understand things, but I've learned in my life, if I have asked God for protection, He'll give it to me. Even in spite of myself or things that I think I know, things that I don't know, if I've asked God to protect me, I've seen things happen in my life that makes no sense. But later on, it makes absolute perfect sense. God was protecting me. You say, I don't know. I hear this being said and I hear this being preached. I think it sounds right. I don't know. Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll never guide you wrong. He'll always lead you into all truth is what the Bible teaches us. I'm hurrying to close here. Congregation raised on the gospel product might look good for a while until real pressure and grief and temptation comes. You want to see something unravel real quick? Join a church product. You'll see it unravel real quick. If it ain't following the recipe, it's going to fall apart. Every single time. That's not Jason telling you that. That's what the Word of God says. Bible says to stand fast in the faith that was given to us, the faith that was once delivered. It says to stay on it. I have other verses, but I'm going to close with this one right here. Acts 17:11. I think this is a good place and a good way to end this morning. This is in Berea. This is when you go back to the book of Acts, a lot of Acts 17:11. There's a lot going on in the book of Acts, a lot of movement. Called the Acts of the Apostles. You think about after the gospel and everything coming together, the churches being established, the church, the doctrine that was once delivered. A lot of people had questions, people being converted, things that are going on. This is very, very telltale here. If you want to be noble, this is the definition of being noble in the Bible. And again, in Berea, they were wanting to know what was said. They weren't being controversial. They wanted to know for themselves. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Maybe in Thessalonica they didn't really care. Maybe they were a little lukewarm and maybe a little here and a little there. Maybe they just took whatever the man behind the pulpit said, just take what he says and go on. I don't have time to study or anything like that. I'm just going to take what they say and go on. But he says here, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They came to church ready to hear. They wanted to see what God had for them. Man, I tell you, that right there is a good recipe for a good service. People excited about the Word of God. Hey, I want to know the truth. Somebody willing to tell them the truth. And that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind. And then look what they did. And they searched the Scriptures daily. They said, you know what? I want to follow this recipe. I want to know what it says for myself. They search the scriptures. Hey, preacher, it's not that I don't believe what you're saying, but I want to know for myself, and I'm going to study it out for myself. Amen. That's what I want you to do. The Bible is of no private interpretation. You get somebody trying to tell you to think the way they want you to think, watch out. Watch the video this week. Threads that you kind of follow, it said, I can't remember, 15 signs you might be in a cult. Boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of stuff going on. People get snookered into things, thinking that they're doing right, thinking that they're following right. One of the things it said is if you can't question leadership, you might be in a cult. Amen. Here's the thing. You and I start having a conversation about something. You know what you and I can do? We can go to the Word of God and we can figure it out. Man up here is telling you, just do what I tell you to. Don't question me. That's a problem. That's a problem. It's not how it works. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They just wanted to know the truth. They wanted to see it for themselves. Hey, I trust this fellow, but I just want to make sure. I tell you, that's following the recipe. I tell you, again, I'm closing with this. I know it's a little after, but I'm closing with this. Church, all the things, I don't know how much people keep up with things and this and that and all that kind of stuff, but when the Lord lays something on my heart and gives me the conviction to tell you, it's my obligation to tell you. I want you to be safe, and I want you to be right, and I want you to know what's right and not fall for every wind of doctrine. One of the things I appreciate also, how we've been going through our church constitution on Sunday schools, we've been going through systematic theology, just basic fundamental teaching, what the Bible teaches. That's how you build this foundation. You don't omit anything. And let me tell you, some of these things aren't easy to talk about. Not fun to talk about, but it's needful. It's needful. That's what being fundamental to me means. You're just staying real with the Bible and taking it literal. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask the ladies to come to the instruments.